Jesus teaches about giving to the needy. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words over and over again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, may your kingdom come soon, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and dishevelled. They still cover themselves in cloth and ashes, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you.
Morning, everyone. God allowed me to get an injury to help with an illustration in this sermon today. So 3 days ago, I was picking up my son Caden from school, and we started playing handball, and then some little kids tipped me and said, "You're in." So I started chasing him around with my thongs on the hard surface, and had a mighty fall and broke my wrist. So that's why my hand looks like this. Thought I better say that early because you'll be wondering through the whole sermon otherwise. So let me pray before I begin. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. I pray you'd use the words I speak to have your will, to rebuke, to encourage, to comfort, to direct. And please guide me and help us to listen in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have three kids, Silas, Caden, and Brittany. And the middle one, Caden, loves making cards for me. And he even made a card for me when I broke my wrist and had a little rocket in it. And said, "Dear Dad, I hope you get better as quick as this rocket." And when he makes cards for me, he can't wait till I get home so he can bring the card to me. And he comes in and brings the card into my room. And he's just looking at me, waiting for my response. And I know he's doing that, so I make sure I give him a good response. I say, thank you so much. I'm so proud of you. You did such a great job. And I give him a hug. And he feels my approval and he feels my pleasure. And I'm going to bring that out more in this sermon. So this sermon is all about pretending. The Greek word hypocrite originally was a word which meant actor. But it eventually came to have a negative meaning. And you can see all through this passage, with the three kinds of acts of righteousness that Jesus highlights, there's a danger. The danger is faking it. And we have a saying, you've got to fake it to make it. But Jesus is saying, if you fake it with me, you won't make it. So don't fake it. In fact, the attraction of faking it, the attraction of doing things for the wrong audience is so powerful that Jesus gives a radical solution. All throughout these Beatitudes, Jesus says things that seem quite extreme. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, because it's better to go to heaven with one eye than two eyes to hell. And here again, Jesus gives an extreme solution for an extreme danger. Because the danger of doing the right thing for others' approval is so strong, do it in secret. Then you won't have to worry about your motives because no one knows. In fact, you'll soon find what your motives are. A lot of us will find ourselves thinking, I don't want to do it anymore, because we did it for the praise of people. See, whatever we do for an audience. There's nothing wrong with doing something for an audience. The question is, who is your audience? Who is your audience? And the problem is, even really noble things, which start out with a pure motive, maybe you're giving some kind of to a charity or something, someone finds out. And they say, oh, you're a great person to do that. Oh, you start to feel pretty good. And subconsciously, you start going, maybe I should tell a few more people that I did that. And social media is a shocker, because now our whole lives are on show. And we all know how fake Facebook is. Because we don't want to put the real us on show. So we put the perfect us, our best life, on show. But we can't help it. We love praise. We love approval. But the problem is, we're selling ourselves short. Because there's a better approval than the approval of people. But it's an approval that takes faith. Because it's an approval that sometimes we need to wait for the experience of. Sometimes we get the experience very quickly. Sometimes we need to wait. And I love this passage because we all know from so many of the stories in the Bible, God loves faith. Jesus, in so many of the stories, you see, he's commending people for their faith. The four people who bring the paralytic on the mat, he sees their faith. And he says to the guy on the mat, my child, your sins are forgiven. He sees people's faith and he rewards them. The guy, blind Bartimaeus, he says, your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. Jesus loves it when we trust him. And in this passage, we have some really simple ways to show that we trust God. I'm just going to go through it and talk about some of the parts. Be sure that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you'll have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus is giving like a general thing on when you do good things. Make sure you don't do it because people are watching, because you'll lose your reward. You'll lose the best reward, the only reward that really has eternal value, the approval and the pleasure of our Heavenly Father. See, because we're like in the verse that was just read, don't babble on like people of other religions do, because they think they'll be heard for their many words. We don't have a cold, give-and-take interaction with our God. It's not like going to the store and buying an apple. Okay, I'll give you a dollar, you give me an apple. It's so much more than that. God tells us the problem is not that you have desire. The problem is that you don't desire enough. We desire praise from other people. If our desire was stronger, we would desire praise from God first, because it's so much better. But we sell ourselves short. We're willing to buy something for a bit less effort because we don't want what we need enough. We need some Christian hedonism. It's not a cold interaction. It's a relationship with our God. And so we need to make sure that our motives are first and foremost to please Him. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the best thing to do. There's a saying, virtue is its own reward. But the Bible doesn't say that. Because we serve a living God who rewards us. We only do good things because He said it's good, because He wants us to. We don't do it because it's the right thing to do, as if there is no God. It's all because of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Just like the story I told you of my son who loves to make cards. The one thing we long to hear is good and faithful servant. Isn't it the cry of your heart? When you know Jesus, you just want to hear that. And for some of us, there's a little fear. What if I don't hear that? We want to hear that. And we even know in society, the number one factor for the flourishing of a young person is the influence of their father. Absent fathers quite often leave children who go the wrong way. And it's the same in these passages where Jesus says, if you do these things in secret so you can't get any praise from people, I will reward you. What is this reward? I'll go on to talk about more about that soon. Let's keep going. Therefore, when you do your charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you do your charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deeds may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. So we have two audiences. One is in secret. We can't see God. And one is very visible. So we have two audiences. And the audience that is visible, we get a visible reward. And the audience that is in secret, God, sometimes it's visible, sometimes our reward is invisible. And just like it takes faith to believe in this invisible God, it takes faith to trust God that He will reward us, even when we don't get the reward of men. In fact, some of the verses previous to this, Jesus says things like, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Wow! Is there a greater reward than seeing God? Who gets it? The pure in heart. But we're not pure in heart. We're pulled away by all sorts of things. And we're saved by the grace of God. But still, even after we're saved, we still are pulled away. And so Jesus is giving us some instructions on how to keep our motives pure. It says here, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And often this is really the choice we have. It's very interesting to think about what motivates us, because whatever motivates us will greatly influence what and how we do it. So, for example, if you're in a setting where starting an orphanage gets everybody praising you, but telling somebody they're a sinner and they need Jesus gets everybody hating you, of course you'll be tempted to blow your trumpet about the orphanage thing, and you won't tell them their need for Jesus because you get persecuted, you hate it. But which one takes more faith? Now, of course, they're both good things to do, but we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our motives. Who are you doing it for? Are you pretending? Why is this such a big deal? Because Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The trouble with hypocrisy is it spreads. Because we don't follow what we hear, we follow what we see. If you come into a church where the pastor says, you must welcome new people, and he always ignores the new people, you develop a culture that hears and doesn't obey that command. You know what it's like in so many churches. We all have our weak spots, and it spreads. People copy the culture, and it spreads. And soon you get this incredibly hypocritical church. And why? Not because the word isn't being taught, but because it's not being modeled. And so this command to beware that you don't do your acts of righteousness before people is not just for you. It's also for the for those around you. It's also for those around you. Now, there's another difficulty with this passage, because some of you may remember there's also a verse that says, "Let your deeds shine before men that they may praise your Father in heaven." And it's in the context of the verse that says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You don't. No one lights a lamp and covers it. They let it shine. And don't let yourself become unsalty. But I think what that's saying is, don't stop doing good things for God. Don't stop living for God. And once again, this takes faith. This takes faith. It means trying to make yourself invisible and make God get glory. I'll think of a silly example just to help you understand. Maybe you're in a situation where you see someone in need and you help them. And they say, "Thanks so much, you're such a good person." See, you've got a choice right there. "Yeah, I am, I'm great." Or, "You know what, Jesus changed my life. And that's why I'm doing this for you." And then you go home, do you post it on social media what you did? Right, you see? So we can hold both of these in balance. We can try to make our good deeds give glory to God whilst trying to make ourselves invisible. But unfortunately, we often spin it around. We're embarrassed about our faith, maybe. We have an opportunity to say, "That's because I believe in Jesus." We clam up and then we go home and post it on social media. So we spin it around. What a shocker. So we take the glory from God and give it to ourselves. A terrible thing. Let me keep reading. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." It's like the high school student who's using his computer to study, and he's on YouTube. But as soon as his mum comes home, he switches back to the homework. You know what I mean. So the last 2 minutes have been homework and the half an hour before has been YouTube. And in this context, some of the commentators say the Pharisees would sometimes find the most public place possible so that the most amount of people would see them doing their religious duty. I saw a funny YouTube video about this story where a pastor was coming to visit a man, and so he sat out the front of his yard on a chair reading his Bible, waiting for the pastor to come past, so he'd think he was doing his Bible study when he came past. It was a joke, but that's the kind of picture. Pretenders. It's the person who diets when they're with you and goes home and eats a bucket of ice cream when they get home. What if you ate a bucket of ice cream with your friend and then you dieted when you get home? That's what Jesus is asking you to do. Don't let anyone know. Let your secret life look even better than your public life. Wow. Because it's just for God. "Oh, I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." He will reward you. "And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Has anyone here ever been to a public prayer meeting? Or a prayer meeting, right? Some people pray a long time and it seems like they're giving a sermon to God. And they're telling God all the things He doesn't know about Himself or something like that, and go on and on and on and on. Now, we don't know a person's heart, but we've all seen that kind of praying. And I know for some of us, myself included sometimes, you end up praying more at prayer meetings than you do in your private life. What a shocker. So people think far better of your prayer life than they should. Now, of course, it's not wrong to go to prayer meetings, and there are so many acts of righteousness, good things that you'll do that can't be hidden. But don't make a show of it. Don't try to sound all pomp and pious. God's not impressed. He knows more words than you. He knows bigger words than you. Don't bother with it. God even knows what you need before you ask. He's our Father, for goodness sake. Imagine my kids coming to me and think, if I don't use really high English, my dad won't give me... What? Dad, can I please have a drink of water? Okay. Just like that. Right? He's our Father. This isn't some weird, cold interaction like I was saying. He's our Heavenly Father. So don't worry about it. Don't try to sound clever. He's our Father. He's not our teacher or the Queen or something like that. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father and He loves us. He knows what we need before we even ask. And then Jesus talks about fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Just for you. Just for God. Sure, there are many things we do that someone's going to see. But I wonder this week as a challenge, think of one thing you can do that only God knows about, and God will reward you. How will He reward you? With His approval and His pleasure. And there's another verse which also gives that kind of an idea. It's the parable of the one had one talent, two talents, and was it five talents? And Jesus says in the parable, the person says to the hired person, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share my master's pleasure." It's that idea again of sharing God's pleasure. Feeling God's pleasure. What does it mean? Well, even a dog knows what it means to know his master's pleasure or displeasure, let alone us. It means just like a child, when their parent is happy with them, they can feel it. When their parent is unhappy with them, they can feel it. Sometimes it's just a look. We all want to feel the pleasure of our Heavenly Father, because the alternative is too horrible to even imagine. Away from me, I never knew you. And this is also paralleled in the story of the sheep and the goats, when it says that all the people will come before the judgment throne at the end of time, and God will put those who have served Him on one side and those that haven't on the other. And there's a part where the people say, "God, when did we see you hungry and we fed you? When did we see you thirsty and we gave you water to drink? When did we see you in prison and we visited you?" They forgot, because they weren't keeping track of their good deeds. They did them for God. They knew God would reward them. They didn't need to keep track. What about you? Are you keeping track of your good deeds? "I'm pretty good. I remember I did this, this, and this." You don't need to keep track. God's keeping track. He will reward you. Or do you let others keep track for you by telling them? No one needs to keep track. God is keeping track. God knows. God loves you. He will reward you. Paul says, "I don't judge myself. I'm not even the judge of myself. God is my judge." See, we don't have any right to give ourselves a judgment, because we're not the judge. Only God does. We are simply unworthy servants. But what a wonderful promise this is. I've heard people preach before, we shouldn't do anything for reward from God. We should only do it because we love Him. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus is promising us a reward. But it's better than a physical reward. It's the approval and pleasure of our Heavenly Father. Let's go through and look at some of the differences between one-handed acts of righteousness and two-handed acts of righteousness. I've been learning the last few days how to do things one-handed. I'm glad it was my right hand that's still usable. But Jesus is asking us to do one-handed acts of righteousness so that not even our left hand knows what our right hand is doing, so that we only get seen by our Father in heaven. Let's look at the differences between the approval of men and the approval of God. The approval of people is temporary. The approval and pleasure of God is eternal. The approval of people leads to insecurity. Isn't that interesting? Think of all the celebrities who commit suicide. Were they built up by all the praise from those people? No, they felt worse and worse because they didn't even know who their friends were anymore. But the approval of God, wow, builds up. It transforms us. Like I was saying about fathers with their children. The approval and pleasure of a father to a child can save the child's life. And just like with God's approval, when a father gives approval and pleasure to their child, it not only gives them a solid foundation, but it has all these ripple effects as well. Ripple effects. Not only ripple effects that are emotional or psychological, but sometimes just plain old physical ripple effects. If your father's there and your father's approving and your father's pleasure is on you, maybe he'll buy you something. So I'm not going to say that God is going to give you $1 million if you do this. But I think it's good to leave it a bit unknown. Who knows what God will do for me if I give him my all? Who knows? You don't know. He's a loving father. You don't know. I find that awesome to think, wow, I wonder how God is going to bless me. But not in a way that removes God from the equation, but in a way where it's because God is the source of all good and because I'm developing more intimacy with God. I'm sensing his presence more. And you know, whatever you get closer to, whatever you worship and whatever worships you, you become like that thing. As you experience God's approval and pleasure, you become more like God. You become more loving. You become more giving. And you know this. When you're spending more time in prayer, when you're soaking, you're learning about God from his word, you find naturally you start to become a better person. There's the old saying, after one day of not doing your quiet time, you notice. After a week, everybody else notices. But the opposite, when we get approval from men, it corrupts us. This is what happens when men get praise. They become worse and worse. But it's the same for you. If you spend all your time trying to get approval from others, it's going to hurt you. It may even kill your faith. How are you going to live for Christ if you're constantly concerned with how other people feel about you? Especially in a society which is slipping further and further away from biblical values. And which brings me to the next difference. The approval of men is fickle. But the approval of God is constant, consistent. He always gives you his pleasure, his approval for the same things. But in our society, it's always changing, right? All of a sudden, on the media, they're constantly trying to tell us homosexuality is good. It's good for a man to pretend to be a woman. It's good for a woman to pretend to be a man. This is all new. No one was saying that 20 years ago. And so now as Christians, we're like, stuck in this position where people are like, oh, you're so bigoted because you're on the wrong side of history. But it's like, well, actually, if you look at most cultures and most religions, they all agree with the Bible. You can't find any religions that say homosexuality is good. Not one. So actually, the new thinking is on the wrong side of history. It's fickle. It keeps changing. But we have a steadfast God who never changes. Let's get our approval from him. We won't even have to get confused then and find out, well, what are people like now? How do I do the right thing now? You've heard of virtue signaling. I wonder if you've heard of that phrase. It's a very new phrase. It only came out in 2015. Has anyone heard of it? Virtue signaling? What it means is when somebody lets something slip to show that they're doing something good, but they don't have to work for it at all. So it might be someone in our society puts up a rainbow thing on their Facebook thing to say they support gay marriage. But maybe they've never actually showed compassion to anyone that struggles with same-sex attraction. Or maybe it's someone that says, I support refugees, but you've never given any money, you've never housed anyone in need. It's just a simple thing like that. It's so easy and oh yeah, okay, you're okay. But you've never done anything for those kinds of people. This is what the Pharisees were doing. They were taking the easy road. They were doing things that were very public, but then in actual fact, their hearts weren't in it, and in private, they weren't actually doing the right thing. Don't be like that. Do things for God. So let me go through those two audiences again. When you do things to please God, He builds you up. He makes you better. He heals you. He gives you real satisfaction. When you do things for people, it's like a candy bar, a quick fix, and then you feel sick. It's like McDonald's. And it's fickle. And it corrupts you. This is really serious. It literally corrupts you, and it corrupts those around you if you do things for the praise of others. So I want to leave you today with that image. That image of your Heavenly Father saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share my pleasure forever. Well done, good and faithful servant. Feel my pleasure. I'm proud of you." Let's pray. Dear God, please help us not to do good things for others to see, but for your eyes only, for an audience of one. Please forgive us for all the times we've sought the praise of people. Please, please help us to have the faith, enough faith in you, to do things in secret, to get a reward which comes from you, who is unseen. In Jesus' name, amen.